It's day 15 of Operation Protective Edge, Israel's offensive into Gaza. Nearly 600 Palestinians, mostly civilians, are dead. 29 Israelis, mostly soldiers, are dead. Rockets are still being fired by Israel into Gaza this morning and by Hamas into Israel. Israel's ambassador to Ireland is Boaz Modai, and he's on the phone. Ambassador, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
15 days, over 600 dead. When is this going to stop?
I wish I'd known. Israel was ready to for a ceasefire last week. We accepted the Egyptian and the Arab League offer. The Hamas kept on shooting. Actually, the Hamas doesn't stop its launching of rockets for the last 14 years, since Israel left Gaza district unilaterally in 2005. Since then, 14,000 rockets have been shot towards Israel indiscriminately in order to kill Israeli civilians. I believe that Israel, like any other country in the world, has the right to defend itself.
But you've killed over 600 citizens, mostly civilians, 29 dead on the Israeli side. What does Israel want?
We want quiet. This is all we want. We want to dismantle the ability of the Hamas to shoot at us on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And we want to find a solution to the terror tunnel. People do not understand that there are two Gaza. The one that you see on the TV with the civilians, and the other one underground, miles and miles of tunnels that were built. It cost a lot of money, and they received a lot of money for the rehabilitation of Gaza in the last few years. And these are tunnels that can get, there are three kinds of them. One that goes from Egypt to Gaza, the other one in the center of Gaza, and the third type is those that are meant to get, the underground going into Israeli territory. And the biggest fear is that one of these tunnels would go into a kibbutz in the south, and one day a group of 10 militants, 10 terrorists would come out and shoot and would create a massacre and would kill tens or hundreds of civilians in these kibbutz. And this is our fear. We have to find a solution for that.
You talk about quiet. To quote Daniel Levy, a former advisor to an Israeli prime minister, what have the Palestinians got in return for quiet? Because on the West Bank, the Fatah's government cooperation with Israel is rewarded with more and more Israeli settlements, and the reward for quiet in Gaza is simply the continuation of the blockade, both on land and on sea. What do the Palestinians get in return for stopping?
No, this is one of the things that I think that we should concentrate at the moment with Gaza, because the other is a problem that should be solved. We were on the negotiating table with the Palestinian Authority for a few months, but it didn't get anywhere because the Palestinian Authority do not accept the fact that there should be a compromise. And the compromise means that they cannot get everything they want. We understand that there is going to be a Palestinian state. The Prime Minister Netanyahu said it many times. He said that the only solution is two states for people living in peace with each other.
But you're continuing to encroach on one part of that state and blockading the other.
No, there is no blockade on Gaza. There is only maritime blockade. People don't see the difference. And that was put on Gaza only after a few vessels coming from Iran with ammunition and missiles were intercepted by the Israeli Navy.
There is no blockade. There is no blockade on Gaza, you say?
There is no blockade on ground. Maybe you don't know, but during this operation, in the last 2 weeks, almost 700 trucks with merchandise, goods, food, medicine, anything that is needed, went through the Kerem Shalom crossing into Gaza. This is what Israel does to help the Palestinians. I don't see the Hamas helping them the same. By the way, 2 days ago, Israel built a field hospital to help wounded civilians from Gaza, just near the Erez crossing. We do that because we care about the Palestinians much more than Hamas cares about them.
If you care about Palestinians, why have you just bombed a hospital in Gaza?
I don't know to which thing you're referring to, but you have to understand that the biggest bunker of the Hamas is under the largest hospital, Shifa Hospital in Gaza. Now we know that we are doing our utmost not to hit civilians, but we should understand that every civilian that dies as a result of this violence was murdered by the Hamas. That what the Hamas is doing is a genocide against their own people. We should understand that. I know that people in the West find it very difficult to understand how come they want their people to be killed. But the Hamas is doing a double war crime. They shoot at civilians and they hide behind their civilians who serve as human shields. And for them, any casualty is a victory. If it's an Israeli, that's good. And if it's a Palestinian, it's PR victory.
Ambassador, even if your claim is true that rockets are being hid close to a hospital, how does that justify hitting a hospital?
I really don't know to which case you're referring to.
The hospital in Gaza that was hit in the last 48 hours.
I don't know. Which hospital? I really don't know the details about that one, but I can assure you that if something like that happened, it wasn't intentional, that these things, you should understand, can happen. One should realize that it's a battlefield is something, if you haven't experienced that, you are lucky, because it's a very ugly place and the terrible things can happen there and a lot of mistakes. If Israel wanted really just to kill Palestinians, why would we put our soldiers in danger and almost 30 of them were already killed? We could have just bombed them from the air.
Just in case you weren't aware, it's the Al-Aqsa Hospital which was hit. Israeli tanks hit the Al-Aqsa Hospital on Sunday, killing four patients and one medic in the hospital.
Again, I mean, you can bring different examples. I don't know about this one in particular, but it doesn't matter. The fact is that what we do is we do all the in our power not to hit civilians, not to hit schools. Mosques, and in these mosques, for example, the Hamas hides their missiles. Only 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, UNRWA revealed that 20 missiles were hidden in a school of UNRWA. I mean, they break every rule, war rule that exists.
We are
trying to do the opposite.
How can you do your best not to target civilians in a tiny area where 2 million people are living?
Exactly. This is why it is so complicated and difficult. But do we have any other choice? Are we supposed to let every hour to missiles to land in Israel? Only yesterday, 137 missiles were targeted towards Israel. We are lucky because we prepared ourselves for that. We have an anti-missile program, a project, the Iron Dome, and we have shelters. Because the government of Israel cares about its people, and we try to protect them, while the Hamas, all the money they had, instead of trying to protect their people, they just put it in the terror tunnels and in the armaments and missiles that they use.
We've had a number of Israeli spokespeople on the program in recent days, and indeed on other media outlets, who say that they are warning Palestinian civilians to leave areas where they're going to send bombs into.
That's true.
Where are these Palestinians supposed to go?
To other places. We very often look, for example, at the moment there is a very difficult battle in Sajaiya, which is a neighborhood very dense, but this is the center of the terror tunnels. We advised Palestinians to leave this neighborhood at least for a short while, and we told them exactly where to go. Some people decided to leave, but since the Hamas threatens them and asks them not to leave, many of them do stay, and unfortunately, in some cases, they are being hit, and that's terrible. It is sad. You know, I'm really sad for every innocent person that is killed, but that is a result of a war under these conditions.
Last week, when we spoke to one representative of your foreign ministry, she suggested rather that one place where Palestinians could hide from the bombs from Israel was the beach, and yet a few days later, four Palestinian boys playing on that very beach were killed by naval shellfire. Can you understand people's concerns that you're asking people to leave in a crowded area where they're continuing to be being bombed? There's no place for them to escape.
What is the solution?
Stop bombing them.
And? Do you know any other country in the world that would have accepted being hit by missiles on a daily basis? As I mentioned, 137 yesterday, 120 the day before.
Can you tell me, and I know.
Look, I must say that there is one thing. There is a claim against Israel that our reaction is not proportional. I think that the only thing that is not proportional is the attitude towards this conflict, comparing to others. From the beginning of the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, I'm speaking about 48. 22,000 people died on both sides, which is an amazing number. It's really frightening. But from the beginning of this year, the beginning of 2014, 30,000 people died in Syria. Now, if you look at the media today, you get the impression that everything that is happening today happens in this little district of Gaza, while there is so much violence going on all around us. I'm not saying that the media shouldn't deal with it, but we should put the right proportions here. And people should know the facts. A lot of people are not aware of that. I saw demonstrations in this country, in this city, just a little while ago, not even mentioning that Israel is being hit on daily basis. I mean, what do people expect? Why is Israel the only country in the world that doesn't have the right to defend itself?
Can you give me an example of another country in the world that has hit a hospital?
Check in Syria. Check what's happening in Iraq these days. In Libya.
Are you putting Israel on an equivalence with Syria and Libya?
No.
Can you give me an example of another? Civilized country?
Yes.
That
yes,
has targeted
hospitals. I will give an example. In 1999, in Kosovo, you probably know that NATO bombarded the city. And when I speak about NATO, I speak about Western democratic country, including some European countries. During this war, they bombarded 14,000 tons, many thousands of missiles. As a result, 2,000 civilians were killed, many of them children.
How is
that
this
happened? They hit 300 schools were destroyed, hospitals. These things happen in a war. People do not understand what the war is all about.
Where's the way out of this, Ambassador? How is this going to end?
I hope with a ceasefire, and I hope it would be soon. Nobody wants that to go on. I just received by mail at this moment an annunciation from my daughter and my children that are staying with her, that they are back home because there was a siren and they had to run for the shelter. And I got, just a few minutes ago, I got a little bit panicked. So I hope that this would end. I know a lot of our soldiers that are there in Gaza. My nephew, children of my friends. Nobody wants that to go on, but there should be a solution. And and I heard the Palestinian ambassador speaking in your program yesterday when he accuses Israel without taking any responsibility. If the Palestinian Authority has an agreement now and the unity government together with the Hamas, why can't they stop them? Abu Mazen is supposed to be he's the president. He's supposed to take responsibility, but they don't. They just put all the burden on Israel, and we are being accused of using excessive force instead of understanding in which situation we are. We were dragged into this conflict. Before it started, Prime Minister Netanyahu said time and again, quiet would be responded with quiet, but there was no quiet, and as long as there is no solution to this problem, we will have to keep on retaliating. That is the only option we have.
Will you talk to Hamas about a ceasefire and a permanent solution?
We talked in the past with Hamas indirectly.
Will you talk now to Hamas?
Indirectly, I guess we will. The Egyptians are in our opinion, quite good moderators. As I said before, last week they offered a ceasefire and we accepted it. It's the Hamas who wasn't ready for that. I hope that now they are more ready.
And if those talks aren't forthcoming, is there any point at which Israel, as a civilized, as a democratic country, is going to draw a line? Is there a point at which the cost in human life becomes too great to bear?
I wish I'd known how you do that. Really. I mean, it's as long as you're being attacked, there is no other option but to retaliate. You also have to remember that we live in a neighborhood in which weakness is being any restraint is being seen as a weakness and not as a strength. And if Israel loses one war, it's the last war. We are not going to get a second chance. So we have to. This is why we have a strong army, and this is why we keep ourselves, because there is no other option for us.
Irrespective of the number of people, the number of innocent civilians who are killed in the process, you say you're distressed by what you see in Gaza. Is there not a point at which it just becomes too much when Israel says, we can't do this anymore?
And then what? And then what? So let's say that Israel unilaterally decides to stop the operation, but the Hamas keeps on shooting at our cities. What do we do then?
Well, at the moment, your Iron Dome system, which is hugely funded by the United States, seems to be keeping you quite well protected.
Quite well protected, but I don't think there is any other people. First of all, it's only a matter of luck. I mean, I know of so many occasions in the last 2 weeks that the difference between five people being killed or the fact that they were not hit is just a matter of 50 meters. There are a lot of miracles here too, with all due respect to the Iron Dome system. But except for that, let's say that these missiles don't kill anyone. Do you still believe that any other country in the world would have accepted being bombarded on a daily basis without responding? I don't think this exists. And if you can give me an example of something like that, I'd be very happy to hear.
Ambassador, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That's Israel's ambassador to Ireland, Boaz Modai'i, speaking to us on the phone here in Dublin.